Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Work For It podcast on the Makery Network. I'm Brian House.
And I'm Ben Butler, and together we represent the two most important components of the maker world.
I work the steel.
And I work the wood.
The show's primary focus is business in the workshop, and then we reach out to you on social media with a question every week.
We read your answers and then discuss them on the show.
Follow our show on any major podcast platform and on Instagram at workforit.podcast, or you can support us for as little as $1 a month on patreon.com/workforit. Let's get on with the show.
That's the idea, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, hey, everybody out there. You are listening to the Work For It podcast. I am joined in the studio with my guy, Mr. Brian Cohn of
Hey, hey, how's it going, everybody? Yes, so, sir.
Yeah, so Ben is not with us this week. He messaged me earlier today and he said, you know, I've got to go see. He's actually got some appointments and some things he's got going on. And so he's not going to be joining us on the show, but I know he will be listening to the show, so I'm going to make up something really crazy right now. I have this theory that I think Ben is getting his butthole inspected
by a doctor.
That's what I'm just, this is all, I don't know for sure. Yeah, speculation. I don't know for sure, but I think it has something to do with his butthole. I'm just going to say that right now. I don't know for sure. So you might want to message Ben. Now that you're listening to this, message him and ask him how his butthole is, since he's not
here. Poor Ben's going to have to deal with that for like a week and a half.
You're welcome,
oh,
Ben.
Shoot. But this is one of the nice things about having three people on a podcast. If somebody has to dip out, there's still two to keep the show going.
I know. I said that exact same thing to him because I think he felt terrible about not being able to join us today, but then he was like, you know, hey, it's you and Brian, so, you know, why not? So I'm thinking maybe, Brian, we ought to just change it to the podcast name to Brian Squared, and then it'll just be me and you, right? Hey, I like that.
You know I'm not mad at that. No, yeah. We need Ben. We can't just cut him out like that.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully everything works out with his b-hole, and, you know, he gets back online very soon. And joins us again here at the Work For It podcast. But hey, so I've had a very busy week. So far already this week, I have tried to contribute to social media quite a bit and basically kind of stir the pot. I've been doing some stuff online that I normally wouldn't do, which is like, let's backtrack for a second. So the other morning, I'm standing in Monday morning, I'm standing in the shower and I'm talking with Sarah and she's like reading this article she reads the news. I don't typically ever pay attention to the news because I don't know what's real and what's not. A lot of it's very
and
biased.
Honestly, that'll make your life a lot easier if you just
it really does.
Steer clear.
It clears the mind. Yeah. If you could steer clear of the news for the most part. I've done this a majority of my life, and there's been some times where major events have occurred in the world, and I have absolutely zero idea that they happened. Like when the space shuttle, I think it was Atlantis, it had a major malfunction and exploded or killed everybody on board. I had gone to church that morning not knowing about it.
Oh, geez.
And I'm sitting in the congregation and they're showing the astronauts on the screen and stuff. And the pastor was talking about it and everything. And I'm like, well, I wonder why they're bringing up the Challenger, you know? And
dude,
in my head, I'm thinking they're talking about the Challenger, accident from when I was a kid. And then mm-hmm. And then somebody's like, this is not the Challenger. This just happened. And I'm like, wait, what? Aww. We lost another shuttle? I had no idea. Dude. That's how much of the in the dark I am, because I just don't pay attention to the news at all. Zero. And back then that was like the internet was just kind of becoming a thing. So you didn't really have like the internet on your phone, or, you know, you'd have to like really dig for news or watch TV. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, getting back to what I was saying about Sarah reading this article, she's reading the article about the headline is kind of, in my opinion, a hot take. So the opinion is, or the headline is, survey shows people no longer believe working hard will lead to a better life. So that's the tagline. Right. So I screenshot. I'm like, you got to send me that. You know, I want to read it, and then I'm going to screenshot it, and I'm going to blow up the world with this, because I'm going to, you know, basically upload it to Facebook and see what happens. So as of right now, there's 111 comments just on my Facebook post.
Holy cow. Really?
Of this. Yeah. Of people going back and forth. What it is people are going back and forth on there talking about the different, like there's definitely a line in the sand with people on this.
It sounds like to me, you've just stirred the pot and a lot of people, you reacted to it.
This is Jeff Fader's definition of a hot take. And all I had to do was screenshot something and post it up. I had people like messaging me going, I can't believe you're posting political stuff. I'm like, I don't fully believe this is political, really. I mean, this is more of an opinion. It could be seen as political. If you want to make anything political, you can.
Yeah, I was just going to say, anything posted on the internet always turns political. So that's just the sad truth of it.
Yeah, it is. And so people fully believe, and anyway, some people really believe that there is zero opportunity to get ahead, even if you're working hard. And then the other side of the line is all of these people who believe fully in hard work, and they believe that, mm-hmm. you know, a combination of hard work and a combination of smart work and, you know, perseverance and all these things that, you know, some people just have built into them. You know, obviously they're going to be the ones that are going to tout hard work. And obviously I am too. I'm 44 and I'm working harder now than I've ever worked. And I think what I want to do is break down the headline just a little bit. So it's saying, sure. if you read it, it says people no longer believe working hard will lead. And here's the part we need to kind of boil down, lead to a better life. So
So I think if I can jump in for a second. Oh, sorry. Sure. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I think the overall statement of people, I mean, you're never going to say a statement and have 100% agreement with it. So, sure. You know, obviously that is, you know, misleading to begin with. But go ahead. I mean, I'm sure I know what your take is going to be on it, but go ahead and, you know, talk about it.
We need to break down two key words in here, or two key phrases. What is working hard entail, and what does it mean to have a better life? You know, so you've got all these people who are chiming in saying, you know, I've worked really hard, 2-3 jobs my whole life, and I've never got ahead. I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. My argument is the title, it doesn't say working hard will make you rich. Working right. hard will make you wealthy. It says, well, will it lead to a better life? That's sort of the paradox here, I think. You've got mm-hmm. these, you know, people on both sides of the line going, hell yeah, hard work pays off. I know it mm-hmm. does. But then you got the person on the other side going, you know, I worked really hard, 2-3 jobs, and I, you know, I could never afford the things that I wanted. And there are a whole bunch of factors that play a role in that type of, however you want to boil it down. You know, was that person a good money manager? Did they live above their means? Did they live below their means? You know, if they're working 2-3 jobs and they could barely get by, did they live in a high cost of living area? You know, all of these things. Were they pursuant of things to rise themselves up? And, you know, I don't know all those answers. Of course, it's different for every single person on the planet. You know, you can't really, you would never be able to fully know what those answers are.
Yeah. I definitely feel like, you know, working hard is going to afford you the possibility of a better life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to use that possibility to the, you know, best, you know, degree possible. Just because you have the ability to have a better life doesn't mean you can't just throw it all away, you know, being stupid. It's just,
yeah, that was my response, was like, so should you just not try? You know, I think that that's, you know what I mean? Because there's like a whole bunch of people in that camp. They were just like, I know everybody. I know these people have tried their best and they, you know, they failed. So, okay. So do you just not like get up in the morning and go to work? Or, you know, I don't know if that's really truly the answer. So I'd like to, you know, from your perspective, Brian, because you're quite a bit younger than I am, but you mm-hmm. also share, I know you share the hard work ethic that I share.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. So when I was in my 20s, I'll preface my question with a story real quick. When I was in my 20s, I was super angry at the system. I felt like a lot of what these people feel, where I felt like it was leveraged against me. There was no way that I was going to be able to get ahead because I got out of college. I have a bachelor's of science degree from a large university. I walked away with no college loans, and there's a whole story behind that, but there's, it was kind of happenstance how I didn't have any debt when I came out of school. And then after that, I got a job working for Fox Television. Get this. And I know this was only 20 years ago, but get this, for $8 an hour. That's what I was paid. And okay. So $8 an hour, if you do the quick math, that's $16,000 a year was my salary.
Sure.
And that was really hard because I had to live in a place that was kind of dangerous. I had to rent an apartment that was not safe. And I basically had to live below my means just to kind of afford to live to eat, you know? Mm-hmm. I know what that feels like. It sucked. It really sucked. Now, later in life, when I look back on those times, I think to myself, I'm kind of glad I went through them because I felt like it pushed me to do more. You know, it was like, hey, you're not going to get by on your laurels. You're not going to be able to just ice skate through life. If you want something, you have to go and work for it. You have to be creative. You have to take risks.
You and have to work for it, baby.
You got to work for it, baby. That's the whole point. And then at 23, I started my first entrepreneurial venture, which was I opened a soap store, believe it or not, in my hometown. Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard about handmade
soaps. Yeah, I started making handmade soaps. I got inspired because at the time this movie came out called Fight Club. And it blew my mind that you could like make soap. Like I was like, wow,
yeah, you
could
actually. But you weren't making it out of the same stuff they made it on Fight Club, right?
Shh, Brian, we're not gonna talk about that. There was a liposuction facility near me, but no, of course not.
First,
Brian, hint, hint.
First
wink,
rule
wink.
Of Brian House's soap That's dispensary it. Is don't talk about where it
That's it. No, we made vegan soaps. We did like all kinds of, it was a venture that made no money. I didn't lose money, but I didn't make any money. And well, you know what it taught me was that it takes a whole hell of a lot of $3 to $5 bars of soap to make a living. You know, you had to really, really go and push and sell and, you know, to cover the rent and, you know, make sure that I had everything. But what it did was it taught me, you know, what, how to run a business. You know, I incorporated for the first time. I was able to, you know, set some money aside. I actually bought a house that year, you know, so there was a lot of really great things that, that occurred because of it. Unfortunately, it just didn't make enough money for me to survive. So I ended up having to close it. And that's okay. You know, it was my first failure. I failed fast. It took about a year, but I failed fast.
And now, what did you do when you failed? You got your ass right back up and did something else.
Hell yeah, I did, because I realized, look, if I want to work for myself, I better come up with a better idea than soap. You know, it really needed to be more than just soap. I'm an idealist. I think that I love the concepts of doing things, whether it be I'm going to make money for myself over here or over here. Didn't really matter. I just really wanted to be an entrepreneur because I wanted to take control over my own destiny. I wanted to say to myself, like, look, if I can do this, then I'll know that all I have to do is do more of that to make more money, if that makes sense. It's kind of like knife making now. I know how much money I need to make. So guess what? I'm going to take and break down how many knives I need to make, how many grinders I need to sell. And I got to push. I got to know how to do that. But if I was going to work every day for a corporation, didn't matter if I worked 20 hours a day or 50 hours a day. Didn't matter. I got the same paycheck. It just did not matter. And I had no control over the situation. So taking, you know, that kind of concept and that idea, I want to know about you as a young person getting started. Have you ever felt angry with the system? You know, do you feel like it's leveraged against you?
I do believe that it is currently harder than it has been in the past to make a decent living off of, you know, just one paycheck or doing one type of gig. The reason why I say that is, you know, for instance, you know, a lot of people out there already know that I stock shelves at Target. Well, you know, outside of, you know, the big rushes around, you know, the spring, you know, just before, you know, the spring resets happen and obviously Christmas, you know, I never even come close to 40 hours of work at Target. Yes, we're getting $15 an hour, but I average right around 20 hours a week because that's all they'll give you. And then, you know, turn around and then they basically demand having full, you know, schedule availability.
Let me ask you something. So, okay. So they only want you there 20 hours a week. Is it because they don't want to pay benefits? Because if you're, if you do 20, you got to be kidding me. This is Target, dude.
Yeah. And I was at the point where I was picking up enough shifts and there was a point where I had complained enough and I had been there for 5 years where they brought me up over the threshold to have, you know, benefits. But ever since then, they've been dropping me down. I've actually dropped below my benefits level. So, and then this past week, I mean, this is turning into me bitching about Target and hopefully nobody from Target Corporation finds this and fires me over it. But, you know, I went to them this week and said, hey, you know, you've only been giving me for, I figured out over the past 3 months, they've only given me about 16 hours average of work a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to them and basically was like, hey, I need, if you're only giving me 16 hours, you know, these are the days I'm available to do it so I can dedicate more time towards, you know, the shop where I'm actually making real money. And, they turned around and said, well, you know, we can't give you the weekends or we can't give you this day off or that day off. We need more availability. So
how ridiculous is that?
I know.
I mean, I don't know how you put up with it, to be honest. I mean,
I've been doing it for Target for about 5.5 years and it's been the exact same, you know, show and dance where, you know, you make your money around Christmas or leading up to Christmas. And then, you know, especially right now, you know, the average for everyone's right around 20-25 hours.
Huh.
So,
does that fuel you to, like, when you get into your shop, do you take that energy, all those things that are happening to you that you're out of control, you have no control over, and does that drive you?
Oh, absolutely. And the way I've explained it is a 4-hour shift at Target feels like 8 or 10. A 10-hour shift in my shop feels like 2.
Right. I'm with you.
It's
there.
Just, you know, the passion. And honestly, you know, my knife business has definitely suffered because, you know, I have to pay bills out of my starting up business money. And, you know, here I am trying to work 2 different jobs, hoping that the Target job would pay the bills and the, you know, knife making money would be able to go towards, you know, building my business. But I mean, a solid percentage, it's absolutely the other way around. And it has been for a while.
Hey, but that's a good thing. I mean, you know, if you think about it, that means you are making something of that business. Like you're rising it up and it's now becoming a, it's going to be a contender for your primary income.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit pessimistic about it, but you know, every time I dip into my knife making money, it's I always think like, you know, what could I be doing? What could I be using this money to, you know, make my business better? And it's just, you know,
yeah,
it hurts every time. It is what it is.
No, I bet. And but see, here's the thing. The climb is never easy, you know, and it doesn't get any easier, honestly. It doesn't get easier because the more you do or the bigger your business gets, the more problems you have. But it's so rewarding, Brian, you know, the being a part of your own, controlling your own destiny. There's something about it that is just so satisfying. And, you know, you don't have to put up with the, you know, hey, we need you to be available 40 hours a week. We're only going to schedule you for 16. And that's going to greatly affect your life, you know, whereas, you know, if you dedicate time into the shop, right, you walk into your shop and you pump out 2-3 knives a week or 4 knives a week, whatever it is, and you know how to sell those knives, right? You know how to go out and make sure somebody sees them so that they're going to buy them from you. You know that you are fully in control of that situation. That money flow comes directly from your immediate attention to what you're doing. That, my friend, is the definition of a hardworking entrepreneur. And yes, in the beginning, it's going to be a little tougher. It's going to be hard, but I'll tell you what, man, I'm listening. Okay. Real quick. I gotta tell you, I'm listening to a book. A lot of people don't know this, but I have a severe learning disability where I have a very difficult time reading. And so I do a lot of things. Like if you read a comment from me on Facebook or on Instagram, it's all voice to text. I can read and write. It's not that. It's I have comprehension problems. So I'm like I'm behind the eight ball on a lot of things as far as, you know, like I always have to have a lawyer read contracts and, you know, there's things that I just cannot do. But I've never used that as a crutch. Like I don't ever just like tell people that and go, oh, feel sorry for me because I can't read, you know, whatever. But so I listen to audiobooks. Anyway, I'm listening to Malcolm Gladwell's David and Goliath, the story of the underdog, essentially. I don't know if you know who Malcolm Gladwell is or if you even listen to audiobooks.
I can't say that I've ever heard of him.
He's you would actually really like it, Brian. You're a thinker. You're a lot like me. You think about a lot of things and you like to take things and kind of analyze them. That's what Malcolm Gladwell does. Okay. And he analyzes things. And he tells stories. Oh, yeah, he is. And he tells stories and great ones at that. And basically the story of his book called David and Goliath is all about the underdog. You know, the story, of course, that we've read always in the Bible about, you know, David walking into the ring with this enormous, warrior. And we all know the end of the story. He defeats him.
Sure,
You know, he's a slinger, right? And he uses his sling and
the rock and the stones. Sling and the perfect shot.
Yeah. And he even breaks it down and tells the story and puts science behind that actual story and talks about back in the day that you know, if a slinger were to shoot a stone at you, it'd be like comparable to a 9mm bullet.
Oh, wow.
It's fascinating, but that's not the core of the story here. The core of the story is that they go into at length. He goes and interviews a lot of entrepreneurs, people who are very successful. And in fact, one person did a study on a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, like 100 or more, and found that more than 60% of them all had some sort of learning disability. A majority of them had like dyslexia, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was trying to prove and does prove with this book is that adversity makes you stronger as a person. So his theory was that these entrepreneurs, these people who had struggled mostly in school, they were all like browbeat. You know, they were told they wouldn't be successful. They were told they were stupid. They were, you know, they had a hard time. They had to struggle to get through school. And I'm a classic example of that. Those people tend to be they would be not risk adverse. They would be more willing to take risks because they don't care about what others think.
Right. I was just going to say, if you're already told that you're going to fail and you're stupid and you're never going to succeed, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They're right. Like, you might as well.
Yeah. You might as well prove them wrong. Right.
Right. There's the driver is, you know, screw There's you. I'm going to show you.
That's exactly right. And my argument for the basis of hard work is that I believe that the people who are playing the victim, that are saying they can't do it, they've never been fully challenged, or maybe they haven't found their passion, or maybe they haven't been given the correct motivation. Hunger is an excellent motivator. And I'm talking about actual physical hunger. So when you get hungry and you need food, but you can't buy food, things change inside of you and inside of your mind. You start to think, where can I go get food? And majority of us have never really fully been hungry. And in America, there's starving people here, which shocks me. Mm-hmm. But I don't personally know anybody that's, you know, hasn't gone a few days without a meal or whatever. But I have personally had times where it was like, my kids eat or I eat. Okay, I'm going to, you know, obviously feed my kids. So those times changed me to the point where I went, okay, this is real. Life is real. Work is real. If you want to live like this, continue doing the things you're doing. Or you can change it up. Take risks. Be creative, push and climb and claw and get to where you want to go. And that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years. I mean, and
it's an absolute inspiration, man. It's so inspirational. I'll tell you,
if I can do it, it makes me feel really emotional when I hear people tell me that they can't do it. Like at first I get like angry. I'm just like, the fuck, you can't do it. Like, do your hands not work? Do your feet not work? You know, what is it? Does your brain not work? You know, all of these things I know work. So, good, you know, why? Why can't you do it? And I, you know, initially I got angry at that, at those comments where people are like, it's just not possible. I can't do it. And then I started thinking like, well, maybe they've never really had that motivation that I've had. You know, and I can't blame them for that. I can't because tell them.
Until like, you're down to the absolute rock bottom, it's really hard to imagine what that feels like. So, and knowing what rock bottom feels like is a huge motivator to never be there again.
Exactly. So, you never want to go there again. And that is, I think I feel like that is the fire burning inside of me every day where I go, I never want to experience that again. So I'm just going to keep, you know, trudging away. Now I will say we have huge income diversification problems and inequality in living in this country. I will 100% agree to that. I was having a kind of a back and forth, a positive back and forth conversation with, Justin Laramieux. And he was saying, you know, it used to be that you could go pump gas and make enough money to, you know, own a house. Now that's not possible. And I agree with him.
Yep.
And so I definitely think we have some resetting that we need to do. And the income inequality in this country is just ridiculous. And these billionaires, you know, storing and keeping, hoarding money. And keeping it out of the economy is just tough.
Again, you know? People are going to be complaining that we're talking politics.
Well, I don't know, because if you think about it, I guess politics would play a role in that. You would have to have some sort of political pull to change, you know, Jeff Bezos having $200 billion in his bank account kind of thing. You know, I mean, that would be definitely political. I agree. I don't want to live in a world, Brian, where everyone around me is poor, hungry, and tired. And I don't think Jeff Bezos does either, and I don't think Bill Gates does either. So and why? I think
on top of that, you know, there are people that work 40 hours a week or even more that also are to that same point of not being able to, you know, get their basic needs, you know, met.
You're right.
Or you have companies, you know, larger companies like the one that I work for that refuse to give you enough hours to live on.
That's just a shocking thing, man. I really, it's shocking for me to hear that because I'm a small business owner. I employ 4 people full time. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, if they need paid time off, the minute you get hired on with me, you have 7 days of PTO.
Mm-hmm.
And my work-life balance has always been, you know, like people that come to work for me stay with me for like 5+ years. For a small business, that's like unheard of. And that it's because I treat my guys so well. You know, if they're sick, they've got a problem, they have a family issue, whatever, PTO it. You know, take your time, whatever you need. We open the doors at 9 o'clock. We close them at 5. It's that simple. You don't need to keep your cell phone on. I won't bug you after 5. That's the kind of ship I run because I worked for companies like you work for that are up my butt. They want to schedule me whenever it was awful. I couldn't function. My life was, you know, sometimes they would call me in that morning and I would have to be available. And if I wasn't, I could be fired, which is crazy to me.
Crazy.
Like crazy. Yeah. Like I can't even imagine, you know, people have lives. You can't do that to them. However, I might be a little bit spoiled because I'm an entrepreneur now. And sometimes I roll in at 10:30 in the morning, Brian, but you know, I'm working at home sometimes, you know, but
I'm
a little bit jaded, you know, for now.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, basically not to keep dwelling on it, but you know, if you're only given so many hours a week or a pay period, then that's why all of these gig operations like Uber or, you know, Shipt for like the shopping thing, like that's what those people are, or that's what those companies are relying on, is all these, you know, workers who have a second job that can't make ends meet. And now they're spending even more time filling up the rest of their day with that. It's just.
Yeah. And it seems crazy. A little predatory, too, you know, in my opinion, you know, although I will say, like, when a DoorDasher screws up my order, I'm like, dude, you had one job. Like, come on, man. Like, you got to pick up the food. You got to bring it to me. But at the same time, you know, I feel like that's not skilled labor. You know, so the little bit of money that they do make doing it, you know, they appreciate it. I get it. It's just, if we're going to talk about politics real quick, like why the hell do we have these laws in place that these big corporations can just skirt around anyway? Like, and then it affects the little guy, you know, it affects everybody, you know, so the politicians are making these rules. Like if they would just make the rule that if somebody works there 40 hours a week, you can you don't have to pay them benefits, that you would get more hours and it wouldn't matter. You know, of course you would love to have benefits. But they're going to screw you out of them anyway. So you might as well get the fucking hours. You know, I don't know. Now I'm fired up, Brian. I'm fired up.
All right.
We're taking on Washington. We're going to march.
Yeah, sure. I'm marching. Man. Something like that. It'll be just the two of us.
We're going to get a flag. We're going to get a work for it flag. We're going to go down Pennsylvania Avenue. We're going to wave it around. We're going to start a revolution.
And if anybody out there wants to buy a work for it podcast flag, go ahead and go to
housemade.us. No, we don't have flags. Shoot. We're good. But anyway, all right. I'm off my rant. That was my social media thing. Switching gears real quick, I saw that you just pounded TikTok in the last week, and you had an awesome experience. Yeah,
so,
tell me about it.
Yeah, with TikTok, literally when we were talking last week, I had just posted one video and it started to get a little bit of traction. So last week, I had 130 followers on my TikTok channel, Biko Knives. Today, I'm
Say that one more time. How many did you have?
130 followers.
Okay, gotcha.
Right now I'm sitting at 10,700 followers.
Holy what?
Yeah,
in a week.
Yeah, in a week. And so basically my whole philosophy was it with it. And what I was trying to do is it seems as if TikTok, whenever you have a knife on screen, and I know I talked about this last week, but if you have a knife on screen or you say the word knife or there's some sort of trigger that, you know, they take those down because it's potentially dangerous content.
So when you say take it down, do they just not push it to the algorithm or they just completely delete the video?
They it will sometimes it will get literally just zero views, but most of the times it'll completely be unavailable. It'll be like completely grayed out. You can't see it on my end. And then, you know, if you're on the other, if you're, you know, coming over to look at my TikTok, it'll just completely not be there. So what
Holy
I've been doing
crap.
This past week,
so they full on delete it then.
Yep, they do.
Wow.
So what I've been doing is I made a few test videos is what I'm calling them, where I make the exact same video, holding it the same way, saying pretty much the same words. But in one video, I'll be saying the word knife, like I'm a knife maker. Here's a Damascus K-Tip chef knife. And in the other video, I'll be saying, you know, I make sharp things, and this is a Damascus K-Tip sharp thing. Just completely, just doing the variable of, you know, knife. Is it saying the word knife? So I made two videos where one I said knife and one I said sharp things. And basically, I asked people to comment below if you can see the other one or which one you saw first or whatever.
And it was overwhelmingly, you were correct. Your theory was correct.
The one where I said knife got taken down. So I had so many people commenting, you know, saying, hey, I see this one, but I can't see the other. So that video got 40,000 views.
Yeah.
And then after that, I made another one where I was checking for the variable of, is it the closed captioning system? Because on TikTok, you can, you know, have a little automatic closed captioning. So I made four videos, you know, two where I was saying knife and two where I was, you know, not saying, you know, calling it sharp thing. And then of those two, one of them had closed captioning and one of them didn't. And one of them got 110,000 views. So it absolutely blew up on me.
110,000.
Yes. And, you know,
wow.
I would like to attribute a lot of that to, you know, it's testing the system. So people are interested in, you know, checking out the algorithm and helping me with that algorithm. And then I think a lot of it was the call to action at the end of each of those videos where I said, please help me, you know, comment, like, subscribe, go check out my Instagram, basically just plug all of my other stuff,
right.
Help my small business. And basically, you know, having so many comments and having a prompt for people to comment or interact basically made people interact, which, you know, boosted the, you know, views of it.
Sure.
So once one actually made it through and didn't get censored, then it would, you know, a lot of people would interact and it blew up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It seems like you're really onto something because obviously people are following you, but I think what you're doing too is, and I think people enjoy watching the process, is you're kind of like skirting the system a little bit and then you're asking for what you want, which is,
absolutely.
Hey, And here's what I thought was brilliant about your TikTok. So I'm scrolling through TikTok. By the way, I'm like an old guy scrolling through TikTok. I'm just going like this. When you say doom scroll, I got way doom scrolled into TikTok because there's a lot of great stuff on there. I can really see how people can get sucked into it. Some really, really funny stuff and really cool information or whatever. But when I'm scrolling through and I see your face, and of course I stop because I'm like, oh, it's Brian, you know? And then right in the beginning of the video, you go, hold up, stop scrolling. I need you to do this. And I'm like, okay. Like I like you were like a police, you were the TikTok police officer. Like, sir, please, sir, stop right there. We're going to need you to like, you know, tell us about, you know, the sharp things. And I immediately that got my attention. Now you had done that a couple more times since. And it didn't seem to get the same sort of attention from the first one. So now you got to switch it up. Now you got to do something else. But it was still very effective. I mean, you look at your numbers are looking really great.
See, with TikTok, it seems as if, you know how with YouTube and all the other ones, like, the attention span is incredibly short.
Yes.
So you have to grab their attention. And then, you know, on TikTok, it seems like if your video is posted 3 days later, you have as many views as you're going to get, because there's a fire hose of content coming to, you know, bury, or I guess drown your content.
Yeah.
So you have to continuously, be posting new stuff and, still try to be, grabbing attention. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, just like anything, people get bored of it.
Yeah, they'll get bored of it for sure. So, yeah, but for me, it was a brilliant campaign, man. I really liked it.
But for me, man, it has basically, because I plugged all my other things, my YouTube jumped up by like 70 subscribers, which is huge. Nice. For my little channel. All of my, especially my Instagram, really got a lot of followers off of it. So this time last week when we last spoke, I had no more orders coming up. Like, my batch that I'm working on, that's it. That's all of my orders. And, basically I would be restocking for, whenever. Well, just from that one video, I had 50 different people inquire about knives, like, seriously, like, wanting and, having more than, hey, what's this knife cost? Oh, it's this. Oh, wow, that's too much. So I had 50 people that got past that level of actually looking into my stuff. And I've already had 7 new orders where they've paid 50% up front.
So what you're telling me is you leveraged social media in a way that was creative. You did something mm-hmm. different. You got new followers, both on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, tens of thousands uh-huh. on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then converted those
into sales.
Some of those into some sales, So if you were to say that when someone tells you that they can't do it, that hard
like
work doesn't pay off or doesn't lead to a better life, what would you tell mm-hmm. them, Brian?
They're obviously not working in the right. They're working hard for sure, but are they working smart? Are they doing things that is actually going to progress you into a position where you can leverage it to have a better life? Or are you just working hard, throwing punches at a wall that's never going to move?
That's a very diplomatic answer. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Cohn, he's going to be running for president 2024.
Oh, no, I will not.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, you're right about being able to see a situation. And again, not everyone has this ability to be able to look at something and go, hey, I think I'm going to try this, and then actually attempt it, try it, and then see what happens. I think that's just like not built into a lot of people. They don't really care, or they don't think there's going to be any reason to do it, or maybe they don't think there'll be any sort of fruit to bear from stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I like your approach is because it's very similar to mine, which is just basically do it. And, have you ever heard the phrase where you throw something against the wall and hope it sticks?
Yeah, for sure.
It's that. I mean, really, with social media, especially with TikTok, because TikTok, you're like 30 seconds to a minute. And, hey, what does that take to create a minute's worth of content? Not much. I mean, you got to be super creative if you want people to watch it. But you can learn as you go. And the platform allows for that.
Mm-hmm. I really think this is kind of going off in a different way. But I do think that if even the person who isn't set up, like you said, who doesn't have that drive to work hard in them or whatever, if you found what their absolute passion is and found a way to monetize that, I think anybody would be able to latch on to, oh, well, this is what I love doing and I can make money on that. I feel like just about anyone would be able to latch onto that and go with it.
I think you're right. I think that the passion portion of it is really a key element. Because, like, nobody ever says to themselves, like, I mean, maybe people do, but they wake up and they go, I really want to be an accountant. Like, that's the farthest fucking thing from my mind. Like, I would never want to do that work. But if some, I'm sure, don't DM me and say, oh, I really want to be an accountant. Like, I get it. It's not for everyone. But
now,
But
I know you don't know this, but being an accountant on TikTok is a totally different thing, and those of you who know will know what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute. What? There's an account. Yeah, oh, is it a girl? Is it a woman?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of like racy stuff on TikTok. I was blown away because, you know, I'm used to Instagram, and I, you know, Instagram doesn't really have a lot of racy stuff on. I guess it does. Maybe if you go look for it. I'm old now, so I don't, you know, I'm just like, well, whatever. Boobies, yay.
I think what the problem is that, you know, with Instagram, you've been on the platform for so long that Instagram knows what you like and what you're likely to interact with. So you only see that type of stuff. Where
you know
TikTok
what I see?
Is,
knives and welding shit. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, that's what I'm into. So,
but TikTok is so new that it doesn't really know very well what it is that your niche is. So it'll throw everything against the wall. And right now it seems like a lot of people interact with, you know, that racy type of, you know, content. So it's going to throw that in your face when you first start. But if you're on it for more than a month and you actually spend time on the app, it will actually start to, you know, learn what you interact with, and it'll stop showing you all of that, you know, content you don't want to see.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, yeah. And I there's not that much. It was just, let me reiterate that I was surprised when I saw like a couple of items that were not really porn, but like, you know, kind of on the edge of it. And it was like, I was like, wow, I didn't, you know, because of obviously my kids use that application.
Right.
I started thinking like, oh, it's not as filtered as it should be. Sure. But, you know, I can't protect them. I've done my best with that. I've got all these devices in my house that filter internet and everything else. And you know what? I just tell the kids like, look, when I was your age, we had like a musty old Playboy to look at. Now you got like all this other stuff on the internet that you can
look
at.
What are you talking about? Dexter has a halo. He's never looked at a single thing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know that's bullshit. But yeah, the thing I try to tell them like, look, when you see stuff like that, just understand it's theater, you know, like you have to know that, like, you know, what's real and what's not. So, but here's what I love about TikTok. Scrolling through TikTok, and of course I'm being fed all of the really popular videos that have like millions and millions of views on them. And here's what it did for me. It gave me a look into the absolute brilliant comedic sort of energy of a younger generation. And it made me so happy to see people creating amazing, funny content. And they're like young. We're talking, you know, in their teens, some of them, you know, they're just brilliant. And I go, holy shit, this is it. This is the next thing. Because, you know, when you get sucked into the YouTube game, it's a lot of older guys like me anyway. My stuff is anyway. But like, you know, there's some really young creative people on YouTube. Don't get me wrong. But like TikTok, to be able to do it in a minute and then get multi-millions of views in the way that they're getting them, I'm just, it makes me so hopeful for your, you know, your younger generations and the generations that are even younger than you. it makes me so hopeful that, you know, they're going to do something amazing with their time on Earth. And that's just, it was a cool feeling. Sure. And then I got sucked into it because I'm just laughing. You know, I'm like, watch. Have you seen the video where the girl's doing the whole Cartman thing where they can't say the word, the F word? And she's doing it right in front of her mom, and she's doing it like verbatim, like what do they call it? Lip sync or something like
that. See, that's the thing about TikTok, though, is, you know, there's so many millions of videos and people watching that there could be that all of the videos that I've seen have never come across your screen.
That's true. Yeah, you're probably right. I haven't spent a lot of time on TikTok. Yeah. Funny stuff. And great stuff. And by the way, obviously, Brian has unlocked the ability to go and use TikTok and actually make money. Hello. Hello, people. Hey, look at
it's
that.
It's actually worth some time now.
If Brian can do it.
The way that I think about it is, especially with my... Oh, sorry. What was that?
I said if Brian can do it, anybody can do it. I'm kidding.
That is so true, though. But the way that I look at it is, you know, especially my 110,000 follower or view one, it's just the law of large numbers. You know, let's say, you know, out of the 100,000+ views, only 1% of it is actually interested in a knife. Well, if you take that, I mean, that's so many people. And then 1% of that is actually going to order a knife. Well, that's still a boatload of orders. Yeah. So, I mean, as long
even
as you
got
a
1% conversion rate. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It honestly is. So, yeah,
you look at any e-commerce endeavor, and if you can get 1 or 2% conversion, you're doing great.
Absolutely.
That's like the metric. And so, you know, that's the thing. You're right about the law of numbers, because you just, you know, the more people that you're exposed to, the more sales you're going to get. You're going to convert those into sales. And then, by the way, it's easier to keep a customer than to get a new one.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is the rule of entrepreneurial. This is entrepreneur 101 says the 80-20 rule. You get 80% of your business from 20% of your customers, and it's easier to keep a customer than to get a new one. If you now look at those 7 knives that you sold, and let's just say there's 7 people, the chances of those people who will now be return customers. You do this for a few years and you'll have more work than you know what to do with.
And honestly, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, for me specifically, I have only about a handful of people that have come back and ordered a second knife just because I've only been in the game for a couple years. So, you know, I don't see the return, you know, person all that much yet. Yet is the key
word.
Yeah,
not yet.
Because not everyone goes out and buys a knife like I make, you know, multiple times in a year. That's just not
a thing. That's true. You're right about that. But I bet you'll see more around gift giving times, you know, like holidays and things like that. And the other thing about something, I don't know if you're leveraging this or not, but if you listen to a lot or look at what a lot of other long-term knife makers are doing, or anyone in the craft business that is making handmade goods, they all have a newsletter that they send out. And I think it would be hugely beneficial to you to start collecting email addresses and get people on your newsletter list. Mm-hmm. Even if you use a service like MailChimp, or if you have a website like Shopify, they have a newsletter sort of e-commerce email marketing component built in, and that will generate revenue and sales for you as well, because people just forget, you know. If you're in their inbox once a month, it's a reminder to them
for sure. One thing I do want to talk to you about a little bit is actually how to set up a website. I don't have a personal website to set up for you know, my knife making stuff. So maybe it's something, either if this is something you want to talk about on the podcast, that'd be cool, or if we want to talk about after. But I am definitely looking into getting some sort of a website set up, because I have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of conversations that end up in, you know, oh, wow, that's more expensive than I expect. You know, I'll have to save up and then I never hear from them again.
You would do yourself a great service of getting your own website and then creating knives, or even knives that you've created before, take photographs of them. Mm-hmm. Even if you listed them in your e-commerce and just put sold next to them, mm-hmm. you know, with a line through the price point. And what that does is, and because I'm in the same space, so people always ask me, like, when I make a chef's knife, like, I could sell them every day, you know, if I wanted to, but I just don't have the time to make them. But you're right. People go, oh, your chef's knives are $300. Wow, I didn't, you know, I thought maybe they'd be like $50 or something. And
right.
Well, and I'm sure you've gotten that same thing, because people, they just don't know. They don't know the amount right. of time it takes to make a handmade knife. And that's okay. And, you know, but it sucks for you to have the conversation, and it sucks for me to have the conversation. So if you say to them, well, go and check out my website and take a look at what I've sold and take a look at all the pieces I have for sale, you know, bconeknives.com or whatever, it eliminates the awkward conversation. It just does, right. you know. And then on there, you can have a frequently asked questions page, knife mm-hmm. care page. You can have a blog. You can post your YouTube videos to it. My suggestion is, go with a service. I know it's a little mm-hmm. bit of money every month, but here's I'm going to sell it to you like this. The amount of time that you're going to spend to have somebody custom develop something for you, you will never, ever get the amount of awesome features that the, like a Shopify or a Wix or a Squarespace that will have by hiring somebody to do it just to cut down on your monthly expenses. It will never add up. It will never, ever be cheaper to go with like a custom web designer. Unless you know, hey, you've got somebody that you know that'll do it for next to nothing, which again, I don't personally think is right. When I was in the web design world, people would tell me that all the time. Hey, you can design my website for me and you'll get all this exposure. And I did about two websites like that. And I'm like, God, I'm an idiot.
See, I blew all of my buddy luck karma on, you know, Kyle with my videography. So
yeah,
I do not have anything like that, but.
You'd be surprised what you can get with Shopify for $30 a month. They'll even process really? Your credit cards for you. Yes. And Whoa. That is a huge, huge game changer. You pay a fee for every transaction, just like you would on PayPal, but mm-hmm. it makes the process so much easier. And you will find right. that people will spend more money if they can put it on a credit card. Not that I'm condoning credit card debt or any of that kind of shit, but I will say I have noticed that when I started accepting credit cards, you know, my average sale number went up. And it was because people wow. felt like they could pay it off over time. You get your money right away. You know, you get sure. it the next day, but they're the ones that are on the hook for that. And Shopify connects with your PayPal. It connects with your, you know, you can connect your YouTube to it. By the way, they're going to like give you all these analytics. They're going to like an app on your phone that'll tell you if somebody's live on your website. I just installed, get this. I just installed something that's brand new to Shopify called Shopify Ping, okay. like the golf club. Okay.
Right.
And what it is there's a little chat window at the very bottom. Like you've seen this on other websites where you go to a website and they're like, oh, how can we help you today? You know, and there's like mm-hmm. this little robot that pops up and you can ask sure. it questions and shit like that. Well, I installed this app and what it does is Shopify Ping, it's like sending me a text message. So if you're on my website and you have a question, right? And you want to know something about a grinder, you open that window and you send the message and it goes immediately to my phone like a text message. I respond wow. to that text message and it enters into your window chat. Now, when you started that chat, it's going to ask you for a mobile cell phone number or whatever. It's going to ask you for an mm-hmm. email. And if I don't respond right away, because, you know, there's just times where I can't respond quick enough, sure. then it will send it back to you as a text message or as an email.
Interesting.
You know, let me tell you something.
So what I'm hearing is that if I ever can't get a hold of you, just go onto your website and open up that message box.
It's all a robot. It's not actually me, Brian. Aww. No, I'm kidding. It is actually me. No, it's definitely me. And here's you're absolutely right. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go to housemaid.us. You can type that anything you want into that chat window, and I'll get it on my phone. No dick pics, and I'm saying that right now. I don't want to see your junk. So but what it does is, and here's why this is so valuable. People will not click through to the frequently asked questions page. You know, mm-hmm. they won't click and read. But what they will do is they will open a chat window and they will ask a question. Even if it's answered on the frequently asked questions page, I answer it anyway. And what that does is it creates trust between me and my customer. And they go, oh, you know, it took him 5 minutes to respond, but he responded right away. You know, there's somebody on the other end of that line there. You know, if I had a problem and I'm building the grinder, you know, I would have somebody to contact right away. It builds trust and that converts into sales.
Here's the other thing that I can imagine. I mean, maybe this is just kind of a, you know, heady way of thinking about it. But, you know, think about all the times you've gone through, let's say, a grocery store and you're sitting there and, you know, sometimes you go in and you don't see what you want and you just leave. Well, if you talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, you know, if what do you hear? I have a question. Let me, you know, get an interaction. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you would have already chosen, like in your head, you know, if I don't talk to somebody, I'm just going to leave without it. As soon as you have an interaction, you're so much more likely to actually, you know, pull the trigger on it because someone has invested that little bit of time to, you know, talk to you about it.
That is an excellent analogy. Excellent.
I imagine you probably get a lot of sales just from sending a message. And then, you know, they may have just gone on your website just to look at it, got a hold of you, and now feel, you know, kind of a little bit obligated to pull the trigger.
I had a lady message me saying, I'm buying this for my husband for Father's Day. Will it arrive on Father's Day if I order it today? I mean, that was like a great question. I said, yeah, if you order it right now, I'll pack it up for you right now and I'll bring it to the post office personally.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes later, I sold a grinder. And that, I mean, that's you know, so that and by the way, that's built in functionality to Shopify. And there's no cost. You know, I don't pay extra for that. It is awesome. So that's why I'm saying I think it's a really powerful platform for small makers, for people doing, you know, small amounts of transactions. You know, if you're, you know, selling thousands a day or something like that, it may not be the right move. But
man, you've sold me on Shopify.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump right on that. As soon as we log off, I'm going.
Now, my Canadian listeners will love this. Their tech support is in Canada. It's in Ontario. So anytime you call tech support or email or get in on a phone with anybody, you get a lovely human Canadian. And they are my favorite people in the whole world, other than Americans, by the way.
Sure.
Canadians are amazing people. They're so kind. You get them on the phone and they're just so helpful. And absolutely. I love that about that place. So, yeah. So, all right, switching gears real quick. We are an hour into the show. Can you believe this, Brian? Talking for 1 hour. Yeah, it is crazy. We have Brian and I and Ben have gone over and Brian is bringing new energy to the Work For It podcast and segmentation. And he has chosen a few segments. And one of the things that we discussed was, and we've kind of already gone through the segments, not all of them, but Brian and I have been privately talking about creating a community project and where we are all doing something at the same time that's focused, say, on a task or a place or something like that. And we talked a little bit about it on the last episode, but we've kind of formulated it now down to this. So we are thinking that we will run a Work For It project where you have to make something for your kitchen. Mm-hmm. That is a very broad thing. But it is a kitchen in a house has more tools in it, more tools in it than your workshop does. Believe it or not, me included, if I'm standing in my kitchen. So if you're in your kitchen and you're like, oh, I need something for my kitchen. It could be a bottle opener. It could be a knife. It could be a spoon. It could be made out of wood. It could be made out of steel. And what we would like to do is over the course of the month, give you a project and kind of focus it a little bit on a room or a task or whatever. And this week's going to be super broad. This is going to be just something for your kitchen. And then when you're doing it, this is the challenge. This is why it works. While you're doing it, share your journey of doing it on Instagram, Facebook, and whatever, and hashtag WFI projects. Okay, so that's Whiskey Foxtrot India projects. Work for it projects. hashtag. And what we'll do is we will see it and then we will be sharing at the same time. You can even tag us in it if you want. I don't care about that. You can tag us. And I want to see what you're working on. And I know Brian wants to see what you're working on.
Absolutely.
And then we collaborate on and stuff and inspire each other to post more on social media. Because we want to prove it to you that if you post on social media on the regular and you use hashtags and you collaborate and you do things together, it will help rise you up faster.
Absolutely. And this is a good opportunity for us to, you know, interact with you guys on the podcast. If you hashtag the WFI project, we can, at the end of each show, or we haven't quite figured out when we'd do it, but we want to, you know, basically go through and check out your projects, get a little bit of a better understanding about it, and then plug you at the end of the show or maybe mid show or whenever we end up doing it.
Oh,
and then
I like
basically
that.
It's yeah. it's a good opportunity for you guys to actually interact with us so that, you know, we can feature you guys. It'd be really cool to get you guys on the podcast. So, you know, I think this is going to be a really cool segment.
I agree. I think that's a great. We didn't even talk about that, Brian, but you're right. If we go through the every week, go through those that hashtag and we pull out some of our favorite projects, we'll call you out on the show. That's huge. That could be huge. All right. I'm into it. So here, this month's task for the month of June is going to be go out, make something for your kitchen, whatever you want it to be, super broad, and hashtag work for it or WFI project. And we will see it, and then we will pull a few out and discuss it right here on the Work For It podcast. All right, so that segment is completed. I think we could check that one off of our list. Off the itinerary. I've got some juicy news.
Now, what's this juicy news? I'm excited. What's going on?
I gotta work this up. So, let me see. How am I gonna say this? This is like really juicy. This is huge. In my world, this is huge. All right. So do you have YouTubers that you really enjoy watching, right? Like you have probably,
absolutely.
There's people that like in your mind, like you have up on a pedestal, right? And
yeah,
I have
like,
too,
so. If I could name one off the top of my head, Brian House, that's
Ooh,
a cool one.
Hello. Look out.
Hey,
look at you. Hey, right here, over here. That's hey. Awesome. And I appreciate that, Brian. Thank you so much. I have a handful that I've followed for a long time. And they're kind of like these YouTubers that I never, ever saw myself being in the same space with, if that makes
sure.
sense. So they're like people I've watched, and I really enjoy their content, and I really respect them as people.
I feel like you've been talking about my last couple months overall.
Right. It's kind of like that. And I guess maybe I shouldn't idolize people or set them up on a pedestal because, you know, that's doomed for,
sure.
you know, like, what is it? You should never meet your idols because, you know, they're going to disappoint me. So the other day, maybe like a month ago, I noticed that the Essential Craftsman started following me on Instagram.
Ooh,
and I was like,
wow,
that's pretty awesome. You know, if you don't know who the Essential Craftsman is on YouTube, you should know because their work is amazing. They do all kinds. Imagine it's like This Old House kind of. I don't know if you remember that show, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, where they do a lot of renovation projects and just very diversified skill sets. And they're always working together. Anyway,
oh, cool.
So I get an email like 3 days ago from Nate, and he's like, hey, we love your grinder project. We love your content. Would you be willing to come on the Essential Craftsman podcast and do an interview with us?
Wow, that'll be cool.
And I said, no way. No, I'm kidding. I said, of course. Oh, my God. Like, I can't even believe it. So this Friday, I am going to be sitting down with the Essential Craftsman himself and Nate, his son, and we are going to do the Essential Craftsman podcast together. So
good for you, Brian. That's awesome.
By the way, like in my head, he's like the Bob Vila. Like he's like the guy. Like if I could like meet somebody on YouTube, like him and Cody from Wrangler Star, like way up there mm-hmm. for me. Like I'd love to hang out with both those guys. So I get a chance to do that, and I'm super stoked. So yeah, I don't know when the episode's going to come out. Here's the thing: the Essential Craftsman on YouTube. The last I checked, which was a couple of days ago, they had 999,000 subscribers.
Oh, come on. We need to get them up past that milestone.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. I would like to push them into the millions. So if you're listening to this, go find the Essential Craftsman on YouTube and give them a follow. And then, you know, comment on one of their videos that you found them through Brian House and the Work For It podcast. Because... man, I'm telling you, those guys deserve it. A million followers, man. So that would be huge.
I hate to burst your bubble, but I just went to check and make sure that I am subscribed to them, and they are at the million subscribers.
Oh, they hit it. Right. Okay, now. They hit it. Okay. Well, do me a favor anyway. Go and tell them you found them through me anyway, so that they
absolutely
get all the comments. Yeah, that'd be great, because they are. They're like kind of like the anomaly. They're like the channel that shouldn't work, but it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're doing all of this like stuff that should be on PBS, and people are gobbling it up. I mean, every video they pump out on the first day gets 50,000 plus views. So, yeah, it's huge, and it's a very diversified amount of content. It's not all the same stuff.
It sounds as if they're doing something out of the ordinary for YouTube. Like, I mean, think about all of your different channels you watch. They all do pretty much the same thing over and over again, generally.
Yeah,
they're all over the place, so they keep you guessing. So you want to go and watch them every time you see a new, you know, video come out. So.
Yep. Because you never know what you're going to get. It's always a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just them talking and, you know, or whatever. But like there's some excellent content on that channel. So go find the Essential Craftsman. Not that they need the subscribers anymore, but, you know, hey, give them an extra follow and all of that. So, and all right. So I'm done with that. Let's move on to the next segment. Brian, I want to move on. We need some music for this, for these segments. We're going to work that out. But we had discussed doing a dad joke segment, because I don't know if you've noticed on Facebook, but my dad jokes, they kill it.
They kill it.
Everybody, this is how you gauge whether or not a dad joke is a success: by how many eye rolls you get when you tell the joke. So if you tell a joke, you get more than 5 eye rolls, that is a big one. That's a good one. So,
or if you get the laugh emoji from other dads.
Dads. Yeah. Right. And my buddy Anthony, he was saying the key is to also do the finger bang, like the finger guns. Like, and then, like, you know, you put your elbow into somebody's, you know, arm, like, hey, get it. So, all right. Dad joke of the week.
Yeah. We need like a drum roll or something for this.
I know.
So, Brian House, like, what is the Dremel dad joke of the week? Go for it.
I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me.
Boom.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Remember, the 6:30 show is completely different than the 9:30 show. Thank you so much. So, all right, dad joke segment out. And by the way, I shipped somebody some parts. And this was a guy that looks at my Facebook a lot and comments a lot on my Facebook. And on the inside, I wrote a dad joke.
There you go.
See? It's like Domino's Pizza. Getting steel delivered to you. And then you get a dad joke.
There you go.
And I won't do that for everybody, by the way. So don't ask me to do it. All right. I'll do it.
All right. There it is.
Force me into it. But anyway, all right. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we crush it or what? Or what do we got left?
Definitely crushed it. But I saw your new packing situation. Did you want to talk about that? Because that looks super interesting.
This is the beauty of the hive mind, right? So I come up with this concept because I'm packing all my steel now in my studio and everything, and I'm learning how to do it. And, you know, I'm selling tube steel, and these packages are like 40 pounds a pop. I mean, they're not light at all. So I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have a pedestal on wheels. And then on that pedestal, I had an old Lazy Susan, sort of a wooden Lazy Susan that I had used on my dining room table for a lot of years. And then later I would use it as like a paint thing where I would set, you know, something on it, and then I could just spin it and paint it. So I had the little roller bearing thing that would spin the Lazy Susan. I thought, you know what, that would be kind of cool to put the box on there and then I could spin it. And so I custom designed this stand in CAD, cut it out on the plasma table, and I started using it. And I posted a video to Instagram and Facebook, and I just said, if anybody has any improvements that they could see to this device, let me know.
And it looked like just in a couple days you had enough advice. And I mean, talk about, I mean, that ball bearing situation, that is such cool.
I would have never thought of that, Brian. Yeah. I really wouldn't have. And you see them like at the UPS store and stuff, those little ball bearing roller things that you can like put down on a flat surface and then just roll something over it. I would have never come up with that on my own. And you're right. Within a day, I had multiple people saying, like, you got to get these like little roller bearing things you put down on there, and then you can just slide it any which way. It's not restricted to just that one axis. Mm-hmm. And of course, on Amazon, you can get them in like one day, you know? So I went on and I ordered them. I ordered 24 of them, and then they were so inexpensive. I think it was like $12 or $13 for a dozen of them delivered. And I just tack weld them on there. It made a huge difference in the system and how I set it up. So thank you to the hive mind, by the way. Everybody who contributes their thoughts to my process helps me succeed. Like, so even if you don't ever spend a dime with me, you've helped me out. Go ahead, Brian.
So here's my question. How much did that tool you made actually reduce the amount of work that you do? Like, how much more quickly can you pack a package now?
It reduced my packing time by half. So,
goodness.
And when I was packing the steel parts on like the first and second day, I didn't have that device. So I was doing everything on like a plastic folding table.
Low. Right. And your back was killing you, I'm sure.
I would go home and my back would hurt. My arms would hurt. My legs, everything hurt. And I realized very quickly that's not a sustainable situation. So, you know, I would sit there and dream it up in my mind. Well, if it was taller, you know, and then it just needs to be a little platform, but just big enough for the box. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'd love it if it swiveled, and I'd love it if it rolled around, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, I have a shit ton of steel in my workshop, so I just had the stuff to make it. So I didn't have to buy anything to make it. It didn't cost anything. And the first iteration was great. It would have worked. It was not all that efficient. This iteration, I mean, if you have to pack anything at all, I think this could be something that people could use for stuff like that. Absolutely. I mean, this is obviously really unique to my situation, of course. But yeah, I mean, and then by the way, sharing the videos about that process, you know, showing off the steel, showing off my shelving and the roller bearings and all of that, it equates into people buying things from me. Just like you're doing on TikTok, people are seeing, oh, well, Brian sells the tube steel now. Cool. All right, I'll go buy the tube steel from him or whatever. You know, it equated into and translated into sales, which is the ultimate goal. I get to do the stuff I love to do, share, which I also love to do, and interact with everybody in the community and make a living doing it. I think I figured it out. I hope it never ends. I just hope it goes all the way to the moon, dude, because I just love doing this work.
You're living the dream and I'm working towards it. So, I mean, what more can you ask for in life? Hopefully everyone out there listening to us is also on their path to basically making it to where Brian is now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that I'm not even to where I want to be, but it feels really good. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels really good to have this kind of support. The key factor in all of this, I truly believe, is that I'm doing what I love doing, and that that energy is being shown to out into social media, which has translated into a whole bunch of friendships being built. And, you know, because of like-minded people, you know, I've got all these people commenting and going, dude, I'd love watching you build this business. It's like, you know, they'll never buy a grinder or they'll never buy a knife, but they love the process. They love watching it being done. And I love sharing about it. So, and also I hope it inspires people to go and do it themselves. You know, that's the other thing. I want other people to be successful too.
And if you're listening this far into the podcast, you, I'm sure you already have the drive. You just have to, you just have to act on it. You have to do it.
I know. And you know, that's the thing that I love about how this all kind of works as a symbiosis, because the people who are listening to the Work For It podcast and watching our content on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, they all tend to have that same idea that it's still worth the time to push and climb and claw. And I don't want the people that are like going, you know, hey, I can't do it or whatever. I would hope we could bring them along with us. But what I want is the people to be inspired. And if I could change their perspective on it, that's my goal, my hope. But what's happened is, you know, all these people that are on my Facebook and Instagram, they're the same. They have the same mindset as we do. And it's just a beautiful thing to see other people making a living, changing their lives, working hard, enjoying their time on Earth. Because, man, for a long time, I was very, there was a lot of, cynicism?
I was very
worried about the world, you know, when the pandemic and, you know, all the things that have been happening around us, I was very concerned. What I saw was a whole bunch of driven people climb up and make a pivot, basically, and make a business out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's given me tons of hope. I love it. Absolutely love it.
That's awesome, man. Well, I think we absolutely killed this podcast.
I know. I'm like emotionally drained here. Yeah. I'm energized, but I'm a little drained.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like we've covered so much in this show. We've talked about so much. And
hopefully the four people who are still watching agree with us.
I think people listen almost all the way through, because a majority of people do, actually. I don't have those analytics because they can't tell. But I do know, because of things we've commented or said it towards the end of the show, people bring up to me a lot.
That's so cool.
It's very cool. I would like to thank everybody who gave me the recommendations for machine shops. I haven't had time to investigate that yet, but I did. I've annotated everyone's responses, and thank you so much. I don't know if you remember, Brian, but I had asked, like, looking for a wheel manufacturer for the grinder kits.
Yes, yes,
and
I do remember
smaller machine shops. Yeah, smaller machine shops like to build the wheels and stuff. And I got like four or five really great recommendations. So
that's awesome. Did you end up landing on the one that you're going with, or no, not quite yet?
I haven't yet. I haven't actually done the investigation yet. So I need to call them and talk to them and, you know, send them my drawings and everything, so that we'll see where it goes. But I wouldn't have that information if I didn't ask for it and you guys didn't provide it to me. So
that's so
cool, I appreciate
man.
You all. Thank you so very much. Thank
Let
you.
Me go ahead and try to channel some of this energy as well. I had a breakthrough as to where I could possibly set up a shop in the new town I'm moving to. And that fell through this week.
Okay. All right.
So I'm back down to square one. If anybody is in the mid Michigan area and knows anybody who needs a garage rented out, I'm sending out into the ether. If you know a person and know a person who might know a person, let me know.
Michigan. And what's the town? What's the name?
Mount Pleasant, Michigan. So anywhere in that area, within 30 minutes, or I mean, at that point, I'm moving about an hour away, but
yeah,
let me know. Yeah. I will set up anywhere.
All right. Very good. Mount Pleasant, Michigan, or anywhere near there. If you have space for Brian to work in, or you know of someone who might, let him know. And you can find him on Instagram at bcone_knives.
Absolutely.
Am I saying that right? Is that your
Absolutely
handle?
You are.
Bcone, and it's spelled K-O-H-N.
That's
not
the
like
key. Thank
ice
you.
Cream cone. Right. Okay. Very good. All right, Brian. Listen, let's wrap the show up. And real quick, I want to just give a shout out to all of our patrons who are paying the bills to keep this show live and on the air. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. We truly appreciate you. Thank you so much. And for all of you who listen and freeload without actually supporting us at all, turn off your phones right now. No, we love you. We know
yeah,
you
man.
Just by listening, you support us, and that's awesome. And by DMing us and sending us your information and sending, you know, whatever it might be, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for listening.
One more way that they could support us is give us a review on whatever you're listening us on to us on. I've learned that, you know, any sort of positive review goes a long way in pushing our podcast out to other people. So give us a 5-star, even if you just give us a thumbs up, that would be awesome.
You can't review on Spotify, can you? I don't see like a star review system on there. I know you can on Apple iTunes.
I'm not entirely sure. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I've looked. I don't think there is a way. But if you find a way, let us know. That is a huge, that would be a huge thank you from us if you could do that. We appreciate you. And as always, I know you guys are out there working for it as we are. And now I need to go and get back to work. See you
Me
guys
too, man.
On the flip side. All right, Brian. Good hanging out with you, man.
Always a pleasure, Brian. It's awesome.
Ben, I hope your butthole's okay, buddy. Let us know. Make sure
Poor
you message Ben.
Ben.
All right. See you later. Bye.
See you, man. Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.